Please turn with me once again to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we shall read at verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 at verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Amen. Over the last number of weeks we have considered the subject of divine providence, as we have it in the opening part of this chapter. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Then follows a series of providences. As we said, some are the direct actions of God. Others are the actions of men, men's purposes, but these are still ordered by God, because God is over everything. Nothing is exempt from his providence, upholding, governing all his creatures and all their actions. Last Sabbath we considered verses 9 and 10. And the theme there was the vanity of man's labor. All the efforts men put forth in this life, all they hope to achieve, the happiness they long for, it is so elusive, they can never obtain it. There's much effort, but it brings disappointment. Everything in the end is unprofitable if it is directed toward our happiness here. Because our life comes to an end. Sooner or later, we must leave everything behind. And so we spoke of man's labor as travail. It's a toil. And that is due in large part to the curse. The curse on the creation. God placed it there to bear testimony to man's fallen state. And we cannot escape that. And if you set your heart on earthly things, if you're looking for satisfaction here, you are never but never going to obtain it. And you have to look beyond this world and to reckon with the fact that you have a soul which will exist forever. And that is the most important thing you have. And true happiness is only enjoyed when the soul is content, when the soul is right with God. No rest here, no peace. And that, in one sense, is a real mercy from God, that people do not find contentment here, because it will drive them, in the kindness of God, out of themselves and looking above and seeking the Lord while he may be found and calling upon him while he is near. It must be of his grace, God's grace in the gospel. Friends, that is what we all so greatly need. Well, we have a verse now which stands apart, and it sums up the whole matter of God's providence and our relation to it. We have then, first we should pay heed to in connection with this, considering divine providence, looking into it, trying to work it out, seeking some understanding of it. That is what we will endeavor to do, as the Lord may help us this evening. Considering divine providence. And the first thing is this, our interest in it. And we certainly have an interest in the providence of God, the works of God. And we learn that from the words in the middle of our text. He hath set the world in their heart. And we wonder at such an expression. What does Solomon intend by it? The world in their heart? He's speaking of men in general. We can apply this to ourselves. It is true of us, each one of us. The world is in our heart. God has set the world in our heart. And when we think of the world, we tend to think of the universe and its content, and we think particularly of our own world. And do we not have a great interest in it? That's always been man's case. He recognizes he is a part of this world, but he's only a speck, and there's a vastness out there. And as man has gained in his understanding of the universe, he's come to realize, or he should have come to realize, his own nothingness. In one sense, we are nothing at all. Who can calculate the extent of the universe? Who can measure it? It seems to be impossible. But it doesn't stop man trying. You and I have lived in a unique generation when men have gone into space, as we say. Man has been able to devise means whereby escaping the Earth's orbit, exploration can be conducted beyond our world to the moon, and then probes beyond that to other planets. We're intrigued. We're fascinated. By the universe we make endless inquiries concerning it. Science, astronomy. But there's one thing man is particularly intrigued by. History. The events that take place in this world, and especially those that involve himself. The generations of mankind, all that have gone before, and then trying to look ahead. You find people doing that. They always want to know about the future. And perhaps you're like that too. There's a natural curiosity there. We wonder why these things are so. Why people are not simply content to live in their own day and get on with their own life. All these questions in men's minds. Well, it's teaching us something. God has set the world in their heart. God has set it there. The world has the sense of that which is perpetual. That which is everlasting. Indeed, this word is so often rendered in the scriptures as eternity. God has set eternity in their heart. Man has this sense that he is a unique creature There are many who are trying to deny that today, in the way of saying that man is just the end of a long line, development, and time has gone on and this is the result. But we do not believe that. The Bible does not teach that. You go to the book of Genesis. God made man in his own image and likeness. Man set apart and set above all the other creatures. He had dominion over them. He was to rule this world on behalf of God, to the glory of God. And then sin came. Disobedience. And the fall. And the darkness. And the hopelessness. Man lost in this world that God put him into. A man is lost because he no longer has fellowship with his Maker. He doesn't rightly know himself because he doesn't rightly know the one who gave him his being, his purpose. Are you someone who looks for meaning in life? Surely we all do. Surely we all understand that life must be more than 80 years and 10 here. The time we live out, going about the ordinary earthly activities common to man. There's something within. There's a conscience. There's a sense of deity. And our accountability to deity. There is eternity within each and every one of us. You and I will exist beyond the grave. There's no doubt about that. The soul which God gave will return to him. You cannot defy that. What a sad day we live in, when men's thoughts rarely turn to the subject of eternity. You can go to the house of mourning, worship at a funeral, and we're told that we're not to mourn. We're not to grieve. Let us celebrate the life that has now come to an end. Happiness somehow to be sought at a funeral. How unbecoming and how unnatural, how perverse indeed. Let us be thankful for a life that has been lived to the glory of God. Let us rejoice if the one who has left this world has, as far as we can tell, gone to be with the Lord. But death is an unnatural thing. Death is only in the world because of sin. Every time you hear of death, it should speak to you of the great problem that faces man, which is his sin. Sin has robbed us of so much. Man still retains a certain dignity because he still has a soul. But he's incapable in his sin of enjoying God. There's fear. There's trembling. There's the hiding. There's the fleeing. We do not like to be in the presence of God or alone with our thoughts as unbelievers. A day of reckoning is coming. Surely we want to know our destiny. What will become of our souls? And how can we know that? There's only one way. Man gropes in the darkness for answers to these questions. And the answers are there right before him. And you and I have them. We have the Word of God. The inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God in the Holy Scriptures. God's great gift to man. And how privileged we are that we have his Word in our own language. Oh, do you love God's Word? A light shining in a dark place. It illuminates the darkness of man's understanding. Gives him light upon time and eternity. Tells him that God is at work and God is accomplishing his purpose. And it especially tells each and every one of us of what the Lord has done for man's salvation. Everlasting salvation. It's there in the Scriptures. It's there in Jesus Christ. And that is the one thing we need to know. If we are to have a blessed eternity, if we're to know peace of soul here and now, and happiness begun. It's in Christ Jesus. It's in his cross. We have life by his death. And such life, that more abundant life, union and communion with God through Jesus Christ. He hath set the world in their heart. Your heart and my heart. This interest, this fascination with the world in which we live. And the meaning of it. And where all things are headed. And to be seekers. And to be searching for that which will see us enjoy a glorious eternity, even Christ as Lord and Saviour. Now that is our first point in terms of considering divine providence, our interest in it, the world, the works of God, the history and the future. But secondly, we have this, our ignorance of it. We have this desire for knowledge, but how little we know. How little we comprehend. You see that at the end of the text. So that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Well, in one sense, that's easy to understand. The vastness of the universe, the intricacy of it, all its parts. Who can possibly understand all these things that God has made and the workings of them? We can observe much, but it seems that to comprehend is very often beyond us. Even the cleverest and the wisest. There's much missing from our knowledge. And our lives are so brief. When you look at the history of the world, the history even of our own nation, there are episodes in it There are different periods characterized by different activities and by conflicts and exploration and trade and industry and all these things. But our lives are so brief. We might see the beginning of something that the Lord is doing and not see the end of it. And not therefore understand the whole meaning of it. That should humble us. What is man? Just a creature. A finite creature. And more a fallen creature. Limited in his capacity. His mind, his reasoning, his understanding. Spoiled by sin. What do we know? Someone has said that the providence of God, as we observe it, is just as we read of the creation. When God first brought it into being, it was without form and void. And you try to fathom what the Lord is doing in the world, even in your own experience. And you may not be able to comprehend it. We cannot find out the work of God from the beginning to the end. But we may be sure of this, because the Bible declares it. God will do everything that is in his mind. His counsel he will bring to pass. He is the sovereign God. He's not subject to any. He has his purpose from all eternity. And the blessed thing is we have a glimpse of what the Lord is doing because we have the scriptures. And we can see that even there in the book of Genesis, immediately after man's fall, God was at work in his providence. He issued the promise of the seed of the woman. That's the center of everything. The seed of the woman. Who is that seed? It's Jesus Christ. It's God's only begotten Son. And what is said of the seed of the woman? He will bruise the head of the serpent. And who is the serpent? That's Satan. Satan the destroyer. The accuser of the brethren. The one who would reveal his enmity against God, seeking to ruin God's handiwork. No doubt Satan imagined that when he tempted first Eve and then Adam, he'd accomplished a great victory. He'd struck a blow at the purpose of God. But the Bible tells us otherwise. And what a wonderful truth this is. Satan can only do what God permits him to do. It's God that sends him on his errands. And there are restraining bounds to Satan, to the devils, to wicked men. They can only do what is in accordance with the divine purpose. There's a mystery there. You have to see the actions of men as done by men. But there is a difference. Any good work, truly good work, that which God approves, that which he countenances, and that which is to his glory, it's done by his grace. His grace in the soul. Scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Divine grace, explaining the works of God's people, those things which are to his praise. Then the works of the ungodly, they are according to their sinful nature. They do what is in their own hearts. And they are accountable for them. And that may be so with you here this evening. If you're not converted, the things you do, the things that are against the law of God, the things that God condemns and the things that God will punish in the one who does them, unless that one finds salvation, you do these things. Now there is an overarching providence. God is making use of all the actions of men. But the sinner cannot say, it was not me. I am not responsible, but all responsible for the things we do, say, even think. But the Lord is the one who directs everything. Those things that seem to us to be so untoward, so grievous, bringing much harm and hurt to so many. We think of matters we refer to as natural disasters. A disease and famine, an earthquake and flood. And then those things that men do to their fellow men in war, shedding blood. What are these things? What are these works? Well, God is even ordained to permit these things. And God is governing these things. And they may come in the way of his judgment upon men for their sins, even upon nations for their disobedience. But the Lord is at work in them to save his people. He never forsakes his own. They're hidden in the hollow of his hand. He watches over them body and soul. And he can make use of these circumstances, these adversities, these tragedies. And he does make use of them to awaken a concern in the soul. And that may be the experience of some of us. If everything goes so smoothly, if nothing ever goes wrong, what need do we have to consider eternity? We're content here. Everything is fine. But it is not. Because our last day is coming. Do not neglect that thought. Never put off reckoning with your own eternal destiny. That's the most important matter. And it may be that the Lord sends something of a kind that you would not wish to see. And he might use it to speak powerfully to your conscience. You've probably all heard of Robert Murray McChain, that passionate preacher of the gospel. He died so young, and that's a mystery. Zealous faithful, prayerful, loving servant of God taken out of this world before he reached 30. But his account of his conversion has to do in great measure with the death of his brother, whom he loved and admired, and who was taken away at a very young age. Not something anyone would wish to be in their cup. But the Lord may make use of these things to stir us to serious and solemn thoughts. And we need that. We may be ignorant of what the Lord is about, even in our present experience. See through a glass darkly. Our vision is clouded. We cannot work out the end of the thing. But we do know this. If we open our Bibles, if we heed the voice of the Scriptures, that the Lord knows the end from the beginning. And that there is a glorious destiny for his people. He will give them an expected end. An end full of hope. Secret things belong unto the Lord our God. We would love to know the secret things. But God has not seen fit to reveal all these things to us. The Bible is enough, friends. Make it your study all the day. Acquaint yourself with God. This is the blessedness of the Christian. He knows the Lord. He knows the character of God. He knows the heart of God. It's revealed in Jesus Christ. And knowing that, he is willing to leave his affairs in God's hands. The Lord does all things well. That is the place of peace. Third and finally, we have the reassurance for the believer. At the beginning of the text, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. And that word time is there. And we had it in the opening verse of the chapter. And then time and time again. As we consider the verses. Down to verse 8. These times of God's providence in the experience of individuals, families, nations. God's works, they all have reference to eternity. Notice verse 14 in our chapter. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Now that's the perspective we need. We should live in the light of eternity. We seem to be so time bound. And many indeed live for the moment. But that is not wise. We must make certain plans for the future. We will do that if we have any wisdom. Always subject to the will of God. But our utmost preparation must be for eternity. Prepare to meet thy God. Are you preparing? Are you ready? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Do not put it off. God is preparing His people for a blessed eternity. And the preparation is the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And the thing you and I need to be sure of is our union with Christ. That we have an interest in the one who was crucified. That we are partakers of God's grace in the one, the only Redeemer. That we are branches in the vine. And that we are abiding in the vine. Every providence in the experience of the child of God has its part to play in that preparation for a blessed eternity. Providence is the handmaid for grace. Prosperity and adversity, they're both involved. God will make use of each of those. Think of the natural world. Think of its time, its seasons. Seed time and harvest, summer and winter. God sends the seasons. And each one has its purpose for this world. And each one is necessary to make this world fruitful. That there should be a harvest and that there should be supply. For man especially. When we're in the winter, we're perhaps not enjoying it very much. We don't like the cold, the gales. We long for it to be summer. But God is at work in the winter. The cold will kill off many pests. And the ground will take up the rain, the snow that comes. There'll be a store there of water. For the springtime, when the sowing must take place, in order that the crop may grow and swell and produce a bounty for the use of man. Perhaps we don't enjoy a time of affliction, and we long again for comfort and to be delivered out of our trouble. Why has this come upon me? I can't see any purpose in it. But He hath made everything beautiful in His time. God is accomplishing something in that time. God is in it. God is ordering it. And God will produce a beauty in the believer, even in and through his afflictions. He gives beauty for ashes. It's a wonderful scripture. There's mourning, but then there's the oil of joy. Sorrows come, but they're only for a season. And they will humble us, perhaps chasten us, and make us more reflective. We need that. To think more upon the most important things in life. We can be carried away with the trivial things. We can be light-hearted. We can be occupied with vanities. That's not for our good. And the Lord sometimes intervenes to turn our thoughts to more weighty things. The reassurance for the believer is this: every providence comes just at the right time. Just at the right time. God never errs. He never makes mistakes. Sickness, bereavement, these things arrive when God determines. He sends these things into our lives. You have examples in the Bible of believers and their difficult experiences. At times when perhaps they could not see anything good in what the Lord was doing. We often think of Joseph, a godly man, one envied by his brethren, even hated by them, because of the dreams God had given to him, in which it was revealed to him that he would be exalted above his brethren, they would be subject to him, and they would rid themselves of Joseph. And Joseph had that great trial. Cast away into the pit, taken down into Egypt. But the Lord was in it. The Lord made everything beautiful in his time. And what happened at the hands of his brethren was necessary in order that Joseph should end up in Egypt and there be exalted by Pharaoh to be over the land. When famine came, and his brethren, and then his father, came down to Egypt, where store was in place in the years of plenty. God directing his servant, and Pharaoh and the people listening, heeding, that in the good years they were to lay up the corn. In the time of famine, they would have provision and enough to spare. You see the hand of God in that. You see the reassurance there. God will accomplish good, even out of evil. God will get glory to his own name and bring blessing to his people, even through things that seem so wrong, so unjust. As we know, Joseph had a coat of many colors. And as someone said, that was an emblem of his own experience. And the experience of every believer. Dark threads as well as light threads. And only when we see the whole garment, and we do not see that here and now, only when we see the whole tapestry that God is weaving, putting together the tapestry of our lives, do we appreciate that the Lord is wise, infinitely wise, and the Lord is loving, infinitely loving. God working all things together for good to them that love him, who are the called according to his purpose. Are you, as a believer in Christ, reassured out of the word of God that the Lord is able to bring you through all your experiences here, including the losses and the crosses, to your eternal home, the eternal, the heavenly mansion that he has prepared for his own. Are you assured that the Lord is working and the Lord will bring it to pass? The words of Christ in the upper room to Simon Peter: what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. It's so often like that. We take these things on trust. That's the exercise of faith in the Word of God and in the God of the Word. We're living for eternity if we are the Lord's people. That eternity which is in our hearts, when every mystery that concerned us here, we shall no doubt get light upon, understanding of. We are content to be walking with God and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May that be each one of us. And hand in hand with our precious Savior, to be led by him to a blessed eternity. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we pray that we may have a peace in all our lot here, trusting in thee and in the promises of thy word. Above all, resting in Christ Jesus, the one who takes care of the souls of his people, having put away all their sin. Lord, we thank thee for the eternity prepared for thine own, and grant that we would be walking in that way that will bring us to the better country. Deliver us from the vanities of this life. Forgive all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.